This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala ilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون وقال تعالى اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق صدق الله العظيم My dear respected elders and brothers, as we are all aware that we are in the beginning of the educational year in South Africa. The beginning of the year in South Africa coincides also with the beginning of the educational year. People go to school, madrasa, and universities at the beginning of the year. And I thought it was very appropriate that we speak about knowledge in today's bayan. Is hafte mein hamari yaha taalimi saal ka aghaaz hua. Isliye iske upar ilm ke fawaid aur ilm ke ahmiyat ke bare mein hum bayan karenge. The first wahi that came down upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after 650 years. And this is known in the Quran as Fatrate Wahi, the time in which Wahi was suspended. Because before that, there was always Wahi that used to come. The greatest amount of time between the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam is the time between Isa alayhi salatu wa salam and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first wahi that came down after such a great period of time was Iqra, read, an indication on the importance of knowledge in Islam. Isa alayhi salatu was salam ke baad, 600 saal ke baad, 650 saal ke baad, jab pehle wahi zameen par utra, aur Allah ta'ala ki taraf se jo aya, wo ilm ke baare mein tha, jisse ilm ke ahmiyat ke baare mein hamein maloom hoti hai, ki ye ilm ke ahmiyat hai. Because of this, there was great amount of an unprecedented enthusiasm for the propagation and for the acquisition of knowledge in our Sharia. And all types of knowledge, all branches of knowledge, as I will go on to explain. I gave this example, how many examples there were with regard to how the previous scholars and generations, how much emphasis they put upon knowledge. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu travels from Medina to Damascus. Oh, how many? A month's journey. And he goes and meets a scholar to learn one hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Medina se Damascus, sirf ek hadith ko hasil karne ke liye Jabir bin Abdullah wo safar karta hai. For one hadith he travels 1 month. He comes to the person who knows the hadith, and while he doesn't even get off the camel, he says, relate to me this hadith. And amazingly, he knew the hadith. But he wanted to hear it because this person in Damascus had heard it from one narrator less from the narration and from the transmitters that he knew it from. He hears the hadith. Immediately, he takes his camel and he turns back to Medina. The person says, where are you going? Where have you come from? He said, who are you? Jabir. Where? Jabir from where? Medina. He says, where are you going? He said, I heard the hadith. I'm going back. I only came to listen to one hadith. I only came to learn this one hadith. That was the type of emphasis that was with regard to knowledge. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim." The acquiring of knowledge is compulsory upon each and every believer, male or female. Every believer has to have knowledge. Therefore, if someone ever says that an ignorant Muslim, it's not supposed to exist, because knowledge is not something that is optional, it is compulsory. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya ke ilm ka hasil karna farz hai. Jis tarah salat farz hai, isi tarah ilm ka hasil karna farz hai. Agar koi ye kahe ke jahil musliman, ye ho hi nahi sakta. It's impossible to say a person is an ignorant Muslim after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made the acquisition of knowledge compulsory? The one point that, of course, is something that we need to explain. Agar ilm faraz hai, kaun sa ilm faraz hai? If ilm is not compulsory, what is faraz? What is compulsory? Is it compulsory for you to know all branches of knowledge? No. Is it compulsory for you to become a doctor? No. Is it compulsory for you to become a lawyer? Definitely not. Huh? Is it compulsory for you to become an alim? Not. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah Ta'ala says, not everyone is going to become an alim. In every community, there must be those people who are لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, who have in-depth knowledge of ilm, in in-depth knowledge of deen. Har ek ka bas nahi hai ke jo ne alim bane, is not compulsory. So what is compulsory? The ulama have written, with every faraz act in Islam, there is a commensurate faraz to know the requirements of that faraz. Now this is very important, more important than what you and I actually understand and perceive. If salat is compulsory upon you, it is compulsory for you to know the basic masail of salat. Yes, if sometimes you have a situation where, you know, you get lost in the second and third rakat, now what happens, when must you make sijda, so a complicated masala, you can go to an alim. But then how to know, make salat, you have to know. You're going for hajj, it's compulsory for you to know the basic, what am I supposed to do? You're getting married, it's compulsory for you to know the aspect of what is required from you from a spouse. As a husband, it is compulsory for you to know that to give 3 talaqs is haram. It's compulsory for you to know that. If you are going into a business, it is compulsory for you to know the basic halal and haram of business. Talabul halali faridatun. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to acquire halal risk is faraz. Now if that is faraz, comes a commensurate faraz for you to know the basic masail. Otherwise, we need to earn halal risk. Huh? No one is going to get. There was one day a person who was sitting in his room. Right? He was sitting in his room and he said, he heard someone saying, for 250 rand, one time investment, sit and eat for the rest of your life. For 250 rand investment, sit and eat for the rest of your life. Now we all at time we are suckers. How many times people have got caught up with pyramid schemes? Huh? Every time. So this person said 250 rand, I'm going to eat for the rest of my life. He went outside to see. He was selling a chair. So 250 rand, sit and eat for the rest of your life. So we need these aspects of earning halal risk. حدیث میں ہے کہ علم کا حاصل کرنا فرض ہے. اب کیا فرض ہے؟ علماء نے لکھا ہے کہ جس کام کا کرنا بندہ پر فرض ہے اس کا علم حاصل کرنا بھی فرض ہے. صلاۃ فرض ہے, اس کے بارے میں جاننا ضروری ہے, فرض ہے. Now this tells us the importance of the maktab. What we know is a madrasa. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa we have a situation that people go to the maktab. They go to the madrasa. You have a ta'lim, you have a syllabus. The Jamiatul Ulama's Tasheel series, Alhamdulillah, has been used throughout the world. Huh? Now, that particular aspect, we come to know the importance. This is faraz. All other branches of knowledge, school, university, I will make mention of. But this is absolutely compulsory. And we have to say that the compulsion and the importance that it deserves, nowadays, we don't give that particular type of importance to it with regard to our children. We don't give it. Hazrat Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, you have got two options. Either see to the proper tarbiyat and knowledge of your children in madrasa, or risk the apostasy of your children. Or murtad ho jayenge agar madrasa mein nahi gaya. If you don't take, send them to the madrasa, then you risk the aspect with regard to apostasy. Hazrat Mu'abu al-Hassan Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi has written, the best way to preserve Islamic identity is through the means of the madrasa and the maktab. Apne Islami tashakkus ko barqarar rakhne ke liye aur apne bachon mein barqarar rakhne ke liye sabse aham cheez wo maktab mein jana hai, madrasa mein jana hai. Send your children. Hazrat Allama Iqbal Rahmatullah Ali went to Spain. When he came back, you know, he wrote this, and it is recorded in his talks, and he said that let the children of the Muslims attend madrasas. Should these madrasas not be here, I have seen with my own eyes what is going to happen. If the Muslims of India are deprived of the influence of these madrasas, it will happen exactly like what happened in Andalusia in Spain after 800 years of Muslim rule there. Except the relics of the ruins of Granada and Cordoba and Alhambra, there will be nothing left of Islam. And today what we find, the moment we find something, you know, the child has an appointment, do it in madrasa time. You have a headache, go to school, don't go to madrasa. What are you teaching your children? You are teaching your children to grow up with a mindset that deen is not important, dunya is important. Then afterwards, if you become a situation where they turn against deen, they don't make khidmat of their parents, who is going to be blamed? We have set the seeds with regard to bringing into our children that Islam and deen is a second-rate thing. So this is the importance. Give it its importance. This is faraz. For you to know what you are supposed to do as a Muslim is faraz. All other aspects, our ulama have said, it doesn't mean that it is haram. You know, the aspect with regard to, you know, acquiring knowledge, going to school, contemporary knowledge, universities, yeh koi haram nahi hai. It is mubah. Sometimes it can be farz kifaya. I made mention how many times from this member, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, any branch of knowledge which is indispensable for the welfare of mankind, to acquire that is farz kifaya. So if something that is beneficial for the community, then it is the responsibility of the community to have people who acquire that. And Imam Ghazali writes, "Katibbi wal hisab," like medicine and accounting. Logon ka usme hona zaruri hai. Musalman ka uska hona usme zaruri hai. And in Islam, there is no dichotomy with regard to this. Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahab, one of our great scholars, he has written, and I will read to you what he has written. Islam mein deen aur dunya ki tafreeq hi nahi hai. There is no dichotomy between deen and dunya in Islam. Ek Musalman dunyawi ulum bhi Allah ki raza aur makhlooq e khuda ke liye hi hasil karta hai. We acquire university knowledge. We acquire contemporary knowledge for the sake of Allah and for the sake of serving humanity. Ab uske liye agar niyat sahi ho to ye ba'is e sawab hai. And if you acquire it with the right intention, it becomes a means of reward. So you can go to university and earn reward. Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi one day was teaching, and while he was teaching, a person came and said, you know, make isale sawab for one of my deceased family members who passed on. So he was teaching could be his logic, mantiq, more logic and philosophy. He said, I give the reward of this lesson of logic and philosophy to your deceased one who has passed on. So he said, kya? I thought you'll give the reward of Quran and Hadith. He said, if I do it with the right intention, ye bhi deen hai. This is also sawab. So we don't have this dichotomy in Islam. This dichotomy is, we have been created, and this creation has caused great harm to Islam and the Muslims. Nevertheless, that is why we find in Qayrawan University, Qayrawan was the first university in Islam, in Morocco. Right? People who have gone there, who have seen it. Mufti Taqi Sahab says, I went there, and he said, I saw that in one institute, under one roof, people were teaching different types of sciences. Ibn Khaldun was teaching history. Ibn Rushd Averroes was teaching, you know, philosophy and medicine. Qazi Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi was teaching Sirah. His book on Sirah al-Shifa is very, very famous. Ibn Arabi Maliki. Now everyone knows Ibn Arabi. Not because of him being a scholar, because of Ertugrul. Everyone knows of Ibn Arabi. He was teaching in the very same institute. Now, that particular institute had all of these teaching in one. There was an integrated system of education. Muslims were in the forefront with regard to this. And therefore you found that many of the scholars and many of the disciplines, many of the different branches, the Muslims were in the forefront. Ibn Haytham, rahmatullah ali, you know, he wrote about the Milky Way galaxy long before it became, you know, known. And he was the one who did the optics. So it is mentioned that he was the first person to do the cataract operation. Ibn Nafis, he had made mention of the pulmonary blood circulation 300 years before William Harvey, who people normally attribute The pulmonary blood circulation too, 300 years before that, Ibn Nafis had made mention with regard to it. And he had written with regard to it. I remember going on one particular place and I made mention with regard to it. A doctor came and see me after the bayan and he said, Maulana, this was mentioned in one of the scholarly academic journals on medicine that William Harvey was the one who had introduced to the world the pulmonary blood circulation of the human body. I wrote back to them to correct this. And in the next academic journal, they corrected it that Ibn Nafis was the first person to introduce to the world the pulmonary blood circulation. So Muslims were in the... Now the point would be, and as we go towards the end of the talk, is we don't say we must not acquire this, but we acquire it with certain qawaid and shara'it, with certain conditions. And these conditions we have to, each and everyone, need to be aware with regard to these conditions. And the conditions with regard to it. These disciplines, these type of education, these type of disciplines and different branches of knowledge, whether it be medicine, whether it be engineering, whether it be law, all of that is permissible. But firstly, we need to understand, firstly, the most important thing is Quran and Hadith. That will always be superior because it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these different disciplines we find that while it is permissible, you always find that there's always an evolution. So you find an evolution, what was regarded to be, you know, almost certain after 50 years, they say, no, now the new research shows that it is different. You won't find that with regard to Quran and Hadith. Quran and Hadith will always be the same as it was in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The second reason, amongst other reasons, why the Quran and Hadith is superior, all other branches of knowledge must be acquired within the framework of dini knowledge. Quran and Hadith will provide you the framework through which you will gain all other knowledges. So it's very important for us to understand that. So the Quran and Hadith gives us a framework that this is permissible, this is not permissible. And within that framework, we acquire that knowledge. So these, that, and then of course, there is a barakah, and there is a blessing. There is a reward with regard to acquiring the Quran, the ulum and the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. مَنْ سَلَكَ تَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ تَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ Whoever seeks a path in search of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightens and eases his path toward Jannah. Such is the importance of knowledge in Islam, my dear respected brothers. What do I say? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will measure, Allah will weigh the ink of the scholars, the ink with which they write knowledge, and the blood of the martyrs. And on the day of Qiyamah, the ink of the scholars will outweigh the blood of the martyrs. This is in Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time in the Battle of Badr, that the prisoners must be released on ransom. What was the ransom? What was the ransom? That the prisoners must teach Muslims how to read and write. Must teach them knowledge. That knowledge was not Quran and Hadith. Was teach them. They were freed on the basis that they must teach Muslim children how to read and write. This is the importance and emphasis. Now coming back with regard to the qawaid, and one other important condition. You see, one is there's an objective of knowledge in Islam. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, the ulama are those who fear Allah. The learned are those who fear Allah. The objective of knowledge is to come closer to Allah, not to become rebellious, arrogant, suspicious about the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if our knowledge is breeding rebelliousness, breeding doubt, skepticism with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it no more becomes knowledge. Then it becomes information. And sometimes that information can be very harmful. I read the stats which made mention that in America, and this was from a very famed and well established organization, the Yaqeen Institute, that 23% of young people in America, they have doubts with regard to their religion. 23%. Now, hum isliye to taalim hasil nahi karte hai ke jo hai na ilhad ke sath aaye. We don't gain knowledge that because we must get doubts into our religion. Our knowledge must bring us closer towards Almighty Allah. Therefore, the responsibility of parents. Hazrat Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali has written that one of the conditions for people to going to university, One of the conditions for people to acquire contemporary knowledge is they must also know the beauty of their deen, and they must be in touch with the ulama. Then otherwise what will happen is they will breed rebelliousness and doubt and skepticism. And then another important thing is we need to be as parents. I cannot overemphasize this. You must be knowing about your children's education. You must be able to see what your children are learning. You must keep a keen interest with regard to what they are learning. Go through their books. Go through what they are doing. Otherwise, we don't know. You know, we find this whole particular situation in history. Who discovered America? Christopher Columbus. Each and everyone, ask any Muslim child, any other person. Who discovered America? Christopher Columbus. Someone who is bright will also tell you that when Christopher Columbus came to America, he met the natives of America, who were the Red Indians. Right? And then he even discussed and he engaged with them. Now you ask yourself a question, how can someone discover a land when that land is already populated by someone? But each and everyone, we just say, yes, Christopher Columbus discovered America. We just take it for granted that that is the truth. Now let me give you an example and I will conclude with this. The government has got comprehensive sexual education. Now, in this coming week, the religious organizations are meeting with the government to discuss what is this whole particular aspect of comprehensive sexual education. Now, we need to be knowing that this is what our children are going to be learning in schools. Now, although the government says that, yes, they have put forward that abstinence, staying away from sexual activity for young people is the best. Yes, they say, don't. Yeah, but we have said it. What is the objection? Why are you people objecting as religious leaders and organizations? We have said abstinence is a best thing for youth. Stay away from sexual activity. What they don't tell you is that protected sex is a respectful and responsible second option. Yes, we say that abstinence is important, but protected sex is a responsible and a respectful second option. So if your children want to do it, they can do it. There's nothing wrong, but they must do it responsibly. Now that is what is being taught in our schools. If we as parents are not going to be active participants with regard to our children's education, then what's going to happen? Therefore, my dear respected brothers, in today's bayan, we have just given you a small example of the importance of knowledge, why deeni knowledge is so important, the maktab, the madrasas, and then we have spoken about contemporary knowledge, which is also part of our deen, can also be a means of reward, which is also important, but also with these type of conditions. And we all conclude by making the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, Allahumma rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase us in knowledge and grant us understanding and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.